You are listening to the Galena Missions Podcast, the preaching ministry of Galena Bible Church. Grab a Bible and join along with us as we study God's Word.
Somebody know when the Great Depression was? Well, anyway, it's not really important. The other day we were invited to the Caulfields, and I think there were some really delicious jumbo shrimps in there. It was really cool. You might be clearly confused right now, but just act naturally, okay? It might be pretty ugly, but that's your only choice right now. This is totally in a random order. Last Sunday, I had to copy some original copies, and I almost forgot them, so I was happy that I didn't have to run back slowly. Man, back to that food from Teresa. Thank you so much. It was awfully delicious. This is a small crowd here, right? And I think it's an open secret within Galena that this is an awfully pretty place here. Have you seen Myla the other day? I mean, she is quite a big baby already, not to say a tiny elephant. Hey, back to food. Do you know my least favorite liquid food? Oh, never mind. I'm on a heavy diet. I just used a lot of weird words. Right? Did it make any sense to you? I used a lot of oxymorons. You know what that is? You put two words together, they usually don't fit at all. But we just toss them in our language that it sounds better, something like that. Okay? Should I read them again? Is it possible to have a Great Depression? You know? Can you have a jumbo shrimp? Shrimps are usually small, right? It's clearly confused. Act naturally. That's my favorite one. How can you act naturally? Pretty ugly. I use that all the time. This is your only choice. Well, if you have a choice, you usually have more, right? This is in a random order. Well, is it random or is it an order? This is the original copy. Well, run slowly. How is that working? Awfully delicious. I use that a lot too when my wife cooks. This is a small crowd. How is that working? It's an open secret. Well, is it open or is it a secret? Awfully pretty. A big baby. Well, a tiny elephant. How is that working? My least favorite. Well, is it least or is it my favorite? Liquid food. Well, is it liquid or is it food? I'm on a heavy diet. Makes no sense, right? Well, we will continue today with our series. Chris, our pastor, started a few weeks ago, Colossians 4. And there is, there's also an oxymoron. He's taking two different words, and they totally don't fit together. Okay, so grab your Bible. If you don't have your own, you should find one under those chairs. And we will go to Colossians 4, verses 2 to 5. Not a lot of verses. We will see what we can find and how long I have to talk. Basically, it's the last chapter, okay? Chris might preach next Sunday again about the last very verses, and then that's it. It's over. So, well, you know, if somebody leaves, if my son Finn is leaving the house at some point, you know, what would I say to him? What are the last things that are really important? So, maybe Paul is in the same situation here. You know, he's writing that letter to the church in Colossae, and now he's wrapping it up. And, okay, what's the most important thing for the last few sentences I have to tell them, okay? And the topic for this sermon will be prayer and mission. But I will read Colossians 4, 2 to 5 in ESV version. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you ought to answer each person. Colossians 4, 2 to 5. And I had the experience that often I have to read my Bible twice or three times because I wasn't able to get it the first time. So I would like to ask a volunteer to just read it again, Colossians 4, 2 to 5. If we can't find a volunteer, I will decide who will be the volunteer, which would be another oxymoron, right?
A volunteer. this is also in the ESV. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person.
Thank you so much. Prayer and mission. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Well, we did that already, right? But we're supposed to continue, so that's good. Being watchful in it. Being watchful. How often I am watchful in my prayer? Or maybe sometimes I just have my list and I just pray down, Lord, please help this person and this and do this and that. Sometimes it can get quite mechanical. And now I'm not looking at you, Jason, you know. I'm always pointing to myself, right? If you were here last year, we had a speaker from outside. His name was Dean Troon. Who remembers him? Yeah. He talked about, amongst other things, about prayer. He was talking about a prayer journal. He was talking about that it helps quite a bit to just write down your prayer requests. Because sometimes you might ask yourself, well, I pray all the time, at least it seems like, but is there an answer? And often is, if you write it down, then you actually can check it. Okay, what was happening here? Were there any prayers answered? So, being watchful. Last week, do you remember some prayer requests of last week? Maybe that means it too. Being watchful. Okay, what were the prayer requests from last week? I remember, Doug, you were asking for prayer for your daddy, right? How is he doing?
He's back home.
He's back home.
He's agreed to go get assisted care.
Yeah.
Answered prayer.
Answered prayer.
In a nutshell.
Here we go. And there we come right to the next prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Maybe there is a connection, because when you're more watchful, for example, if you write it down, you also could be more thankful because you see, oh yeah, I checked it, and hey, he heard that prayer. Okay, so watchful in it with thanksgiving. Do you have another prayer request you will remember from last week? I don't have. So, not just for us, for me at the same time, being watchful. And just try that. If you have prayer requests, if you have things you pray for, try to write it down and see a week later, 2 weeks later, what's happening here. In prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. When I have a big trip, when I go on a boat ride, on a snow machine ride, when I fly to Anchorage or Fairbanks, I always pray. And I ask for protection and that we have a good time and things like that. Do you do that once in a while too? Yeah? How often do you thank your Lord that you had a good travel? You had a good fishing trip? You arrived safely in Fairbanks or in Olado by snow machine or whatnot? I have to admit, I do it way too less. I could do it a lot more often. I'm really quick with, oh Lord, please help me with this travel. But then, you know, travel was totally fine and I never thank him. How rude would that be? We had a fishing trip with Jason today, you know, it was awesome. We got a lot of pike. We still have to fillet tonight. And it was over and I wouldn't have said thanks to Jason. That probably would be a little bit odd, right? So I have to correct myself and say, well, with God, often I do the same. I'm quick in asking with, Lord, please help me here and then. But then, when everything went well, hey, thank you, Lord. So let's do that. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Man, that is a long sentence, but that's Paul, I guess. So basically, he's switching, you know. It's still the prayer topic. I guess the first verse was more about, you know, what I just said. When we pray, we mainly pray about our stuff, my stuff, friends. But then Paul is also saying, hey, at the same time, pray also for us. I mean, Paul was in prison, right? But he had his friends with him, too. You might think, well, man, I mean, Paul, hello? He was one of the greatest guys. He really got the scripture. He was preaching phenomenal. Why does he need prayer? I mean, he wrote numerous books in the New Testament, okay? He was really a crack. But he's asking for prayer. Why is he asking for prayer? Well, that might be one thing, exactly. He's in prison, so he's a little bit limited. He's asking for prayer. And also, if you remember, 2 weeks ago we talked about that we like to focus on heaven and not on earth. Okay? So he's realizing, well, it doesn't matter how awesome your education is and whatnot. The most important thing is that you stay in contact with God, because he is in control for everything. So you better stay in contact with him. And when you stay in contact with him, when you talk with him, when you pray with him, in a sense, you focus on heaven and not on earth. Oh man, I have another problem. I have to call Jason Cobb, you know? Well, that's good, but bottom line, I like to depend on the Lord. So I like to stay in contact with the Lord. So Paul is asking for prayer for himself and for his crowd, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Again, a long sentence. So the question is, can you find the oxymoron in here? There is an oxymoron in here. The mystery. Make it clear. How can you make a mystery clear? Wouldn't you say that's an oxymoron? I mean, it's a mystery. It's really hard to explain a mystery clear. So it is a oxymoron. What is the mystery? Do you know what the mystery is? Christ, exactly. That's what Paul is saying in the beginning of the letter to the Colossians, that the mystery, which is Christ, and here he says it again, the mystery of Christ. Christ, Jesus Christ, in a sense, he is a mystery. We said he was there when the world got created. How is that working, that God who created not just this earth, the whole universe, is coming down to earth, coming as a baby, not as a rich guy, as he could be, and then later on dying on a cross and giving you that, the most important thing, eternal life. It's the most important thing in life, but you can't pay for it, right? But it's kind of mystery. It's a mystery, and that's the most fascinating scripture or story. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, you know, and from a human perspective, that's the weakest point in Jesus' life, wouldn't you say? I mean, he's hanging on the cross. There's nothing he can do from a human perspective. That's what the Romans thought. They were ruling most of the world at that point, you know, and they crucified thousands of people. And there was just another one. And I tell you what, the Romans had never seen a guy jumping off the cross. Never. It was really cruel, and it was bomb-proof in a sense, you know, that he was going to die. From a human perspective, Jesus had no chance. But from a godly perspective, and what we know from the Bible, Jesus could have just doing this, and a million angels would be there and taking off the cross, and everything would be fine. For him, at that moment, long term, nothing would be fine, at least for us. It is a mystery about Jesus Christ that everybody, even a small child, even disabled people, can accept Christ. And on the other hand, you have some doctors and professors who are just really, really smart, and somehow they don't get it. It is a mystery. On account of which I am in prison, that I make it clear which is how I ought to speak. That's what Paul is asking for. That they pray for him, that God will open doors, that he can clearly explain the gospel. The gospel about Jesus Christ. Door. You were maybe already wondering, what's that door doing up there? Maybe push it again. Well, have you heard about the organization Open Doors? I am pretty sure that this verse, Colossians 4:3, was probably the reason why they call themselves Open Doors. Because that's what Paul is asking for. And we already prayed. We prayed for a lot of good things, and it was totally fine. But again, verse 3, at the same time, okay? At the same time, Paul is asking also for prayer for him and for all the other people who are not in Colossae right now, who are not in Galena right now, but praying for people who are in different places. And that's what I like to do. Again, Jens, I would need your support. Jens will stay here and hold the door, and I will hold the door here, because we just figured out last minute that, yeah, it's not really going to work. And what I'm asking you is, think about a people group or a country you like to pray for, that there will be an open door. An open door for what? That the people getting more rich? Africa, Asia, I mean, there are tons of countries who are really poor. Well, what's Paul asking for? He's asking, Renee, go ahead. Exactly. He is asking for, here we go. He's asking for an open door for the gospel. Not for more money, for more wealth, for that the people getting more healthy, you know. That might be another outcome, but he's asking for an open door in those countries or for people groups. So, if you have a country or people group in your mind right now, I would ask you for a bold thing. come up, go behind the door, open the door, we hope it works, and tell us for which country or for which people group you would like to pray for. And then you can do that right here, or you just say, hey, would somebody please pray for that? Okay? Is the task clear? Sorry when I make you a little uncomfortable, but I think it's a good practice. 2 weeks ago, we had a world map. We had a competition between Heidi and Doug, and yep.
Why?
All right, here we have Brave Jet.
Africa. And can someone please pray for it?
All right, who likes to pray for Africa? John.
Lord, I thank you for just the world you created and such a huge portion of that. And in Africa, I pray for the many countries that are represented within that continent. I pray that there would be countless open doors for the godly men and women that you've called out there in Africa to clearly proclaim your gospel, your mystery, that many more would join that number, that many more would grow to love you and be excellent in following you, and that it would just be a chain reaction of people loving you and finding more and more open doors to walk through and to proclaim your gospel. Amen.
Amen. The next one, right?
Guatemala.
Can I share a few?
Yeah, please.
In March, I went down to Guatemala on a mission trip with Priapto Faye out of Anchorage, Alaska. And Pastor Emilio there has started 62 churches in the Mayan villages. Villages not pretty close to the Galena, Alaska-type villages. Way, way out there. Well, Guatemala, not Galena, but Guatemala has been placed on my heart. And as he was preaching, before he asked us to come through the door, Guatemala came to mind. And I've been praying for an open door. We haven't figured out how we're going to help, but Pastor Emilio's son is an engineer, so we've connected as engineer to engineer. And Ben, who is 23 years old, could be in Guatemala City working as an engineer, but yet he's moved back to his Mayan community and he started a high school. And we are trying to figure out, Guatemalan people usually stop school at 8th grade, some 3rd grade. They're trying to figure out, and he's already started a school with 52 high schoolers. We're trying to figure out how to build a building in Guatemala for this school. And I pray for an open door on this. And my heart is in Guatemala, especially in the wintertime when it's 80 degrees down there.
Sounds like a place out.
Who likes to pray for Guatemala? Which the capital is Guatemala City. That's super easy. Go ahead, Doug.
Heavenly Father, we just pray for the people of Guatemala, Lord, and the work that you're doing there. God, I just pray that things that we as mankind see as obstacles, Lord, those are just things to draw us closer to you in prayer. And God, we just know you have this all laid out and figured out. God, I thank you for Patrick's heart, God, and for his willingness to serve. And so, God, as he communicates with these people back and forth, God, I just pray that you would open the door, God, that your word would be proclaimed and that this school would be built, and Lord, that your kingdom is further. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Who has another 3rd country or people group? Can I go?
Country.
was told I couldn't touch it earlier. My people group is the Bhagata people of the Araku Valley in India, and we were able in 2010 to go and help just kind of, I can't remember what the word is for it. It's a thing where you go in and you survey a people group and you find out their culture and how they live and what's happening with that different people group, and then you bring that information back and they establish missionaries that can go and help with that group. So at this point, there are only two missionaries that are serving this group of people, which numbers about 9.2 million. So, and that's just in the region of the Araku Valley. They are all throughout. It's the second highest caste in India. They're in a caste system, so we just pray that God will open doors for that people that's, for the most part, an unreached, unengaged people group. And so we just continue to pray for them. That's been 5 years ago, and they are still heavily on our hearts. So. I don't want to walk back to the room. James,
that's good. Who likes to pray for the Bhagata people in India?
Yeah.
And I will do that. Or did I hear somebody else? Well, thank you so much that you put the Bhagata people in India on Doc's and Heidi's heart. Thank you that they had the opportunity to see them and serve there a few years back. We thank you for those two missionaries, single guys or families, I'm not sure, but you know, and that's most important. You know their challenges they have to face right now, but your word is also telling us that you are mighty in the small and little things. And those two missionary families, they can change the whole people group of the Bhagata. We pray that you bless them today, and we pray for open doors for leaders, for individuals, that they will not just hear your word, but also accept the great mystery of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jens. It holds. It's very good.
Verse 5. I've written something and you have to guess. Okay? Let's see if I'm in practice.
What's the light?
Huh?
What's the light?
The light? Huh? You're right. Let's go there. Now Josh is saying, watch my computer. Okay. There's a certain sport. They do that a lot. Do you know?
Boxing.
Now that makes no sense for me, because boxing, you know, you have to use your arms and your fists to knock down your opponent, right? Why do they do rope skipping all the time? It makes no sense to me. Do you know?
Feet.
Huh?
Footwork.
Footwork. Why is it so important to have good footwork when you like to punch your opponent in the face? Do you use your feet for that? Yeah?
So it's called kickboxing, and it's not exactly like...
Okay, that is a good point. There's kickboxing. They indeed use their feet as well for kicking, but just for the regular boxing, why do they need good feet?
They don't fall.
No, they don't fall?
So they have the balance, but they have to move forward quickly and back. So
uh-huh. Yeah, balance, moving. Have you seen a box fight? Do they just stay there and do this? No. They're constantly moving back, forth, whatever. So it's really important for a boxer to have really good footwork. Muhammad Ali, they said he was just rope skipping for 1 hour before he would just even start doing other stuff. They do that all the time. You know, it looks a little bit silly having those big guys and then just tip, 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 tip. But it's really important for boxers to have good footwork, and what they do, and it's still old style, but they still do it, is rope skipping. Really important. What else has boxing to do with Colossians 4:5? Maybe you will get it. I read verse 5 again. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you ought to answer each person. Well, the first thing, walk in wisdom. But then also later on, verse 6, let your speech always be gracious. So it's not, he's not just saying, well, let your speech always be gracious, okay? It's not enough to talk about Jesus. It's also important to walk. Walk the talk. That's a saying, okay? So it's not enough to just tell the people, hey, Jesus loves you, and turn around, turn or burn, something like that. You also have to walk. So walk in wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? Jet, where do we get wisdom?
The Bible? God and Jesus.
Very good. We read in, was it Colossians 2:3? Where's all the wisdom coming from? From Jesus, exactly. What is James 1:5 telling us when we have a lack of wisdom? Ask for it. Okay? So if you have a lack of wisdom, who has a lack of wisdom? Raise your hand. Oh, I'm in good company. Yeah. Well, we can ask for wisdom. Okay? So walk in wisdom toward outsiders. What are outsiders? The Rugby family might be some outsiders because you just moved to Galena. Patrick might be an outsider in a sense because you're not a resident, right? Well, that's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about people who don't know Jesus yet. Well, to be more precise, actually, you know what? A lot of people have heard about Jesus. And they might know him. They have a lot of knowledge about Jesus. But he's talking about people who are not going to church yet. They might speak and talk about Jesus, but the walking part is maybe a little bit weak. So he's talking about people who are not going to church yet, to outsiders. Making the best use of your time. Time. The Greek people know when the Greek language is using the word time. The Greek language has two words for that. The one word is chronos, and the other word is kairos. And what Paul is using right here, he's using the kairos word. The chronos word is just time, continuing. But here he's using the word kairos, which is just a specific point in time. So, and sometimes you might agree, if you have a really important topic to talk with your son or daughter or wife, you have to pass sometimes, have to see what's the right time to approach that request, right? It's not working all the time. If Silky's asking me around midnight about something, the chances are pretty good that there wouldn't be a lot of outcome because that's just not my time. Okay, so she has to pass the right time and then the chances are getting higher. And that's what Paul is talking about. Make the best use of time. Just look, what's the best chronos, no, kairos, what's the best point in time to talk with people? Just be sensitive with people to talk about him. There's also another good verse. Could somebody take the Bible and read Psalm 90:12?
Okay. So teach us the number of our days that we may get a part of the
Thank you. Do you know how old you get? 90? Yeah? Well, if you live really healthy and whatever, you know, I mean, we could say the average age, I don't know, what is it in the States? 72. 72, 75, something like that. That's the average. But maybe you're new in town and you don't know where the shooting range is, you know, and you walk around and... The average is suddenly really low for you. We don't know. I mean, people have a stroke or get hit by a car or whatever. We don't know when our kairos is. People getting cancer at 35, 36, that's my age, you know. They think they have another 35 years and boom. They say you have 2 more weeks and that's it. We don't know our kairos. So make the best out of that time. Don't think, yeah, I can do that next year. Yeah, well, I'm working on that relationship for the last 10 years and I need another 10 years and then I can represent the gospel. Well, again, yeah, you have to find the right point, but we also have to make the best out of your time. Let your speech always be gracious. Whew. Gracious. Well, my daddy-in-law taught me a lesson here the last few days. We have some sewer issues, okay, at our house. And that was happening 2 years ago at the flood, you know. And I was wondering if my landlord was just saying, okay, well, I don't like to deal with it. I just sell the house with it. But that wouldn't be gracious, that thought. But it would be more gracious, besides that I really don't know, to say, well, he's a busy guy, that sewer problem is away from the house, in the bushes, you can't really see it. So it would be a lot gracious for me to say, well, there were so many things during the flood, and that was just a thing, he didn't pay attention. Because inside the house, you know, it was still working, but not outside the house. So, be gracious. Seasoned with salt. If your food tastes a little bit average, how much salt do you have to add to make it better?
Just a little,
right? And that's what we ought to do when we talk with people about Jesus, you know? Just think about, well, often it doesn't take a lot. Just a little spice here. Spice it up.
We have to come back for more.
Exactly. Maybe like more... Like... what do you call those candles who smell?
Scented candles.
Yeah. Maybe we should more act like this, you know, that we just smell really good and then they're... That's interesting. Okay, I like to get more, right? So just think about how could you have a salty language? That's probably not the point. That's what Brian Landrum, our radio manager, told me when he met the first time Charlie Green. Charlie Green is a great guy, you know? He's a hard worker and he has a really salty language. For sure. I don't know if it's the name. When I work with Inland Barge, the captain, Charlie, man, he has a salty language too. well, that's not what Paul is talking about, okay? But he's just saying, hey, make it interesting for the people when you talk about Jesus, okay? And not just go there with the Bible and slap them to the right, to the left, you have to turn around. Well, some people might actually need that, okay? So the time is important. Speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you ought to answer each person. Okay, we said prayer and mission is the topic. Well, obviously for Paul that was important, right? Mission, because he was out of state in a sense, and now he was in prison. So he was out of state. He was proclaiming the gospel. But he's telling the same pretty much to the church in Colossae too, right? Because that's what we read here. Walk and talk It's not just Paul who is a missionary. Everybody here is a missionary. If you have the title missionary, or if you have the title of a teacher, it doesn't matter. You are a missionary. And Paul needs that prayer, but at the same time, he's also asking the congregation, the church in Colossae, hey, you have to do the same. You have to spread the word. And missionaries, they have more time to spread the gospel. They have more time to communicate with people. But sometimes it's better being not a missionary. It's better being a teacher. Just being, act naturally. Being natural and having your job, what I hear sometimes, you know, it's like, well, this is your job. Okay, you know, of course you have to talk about Jesus. Well, if you're a teacher or wherever you work, you know, it's not your job. And people see that. And they see, well, it's not his job, but he's still doing it. So it might be something really important for him. Okay? So that's what Paul is telling us here in the last chapter of Colossians 4, is mission and prayer. And everybody, again, is a missionary. Not just me or John Casey or Chris as the pastor. Everybody. And we all like to do it. And we can't do it by ourselves. We need the mystery of Jesus Christ. We like to connect, stay in contact with God in heaven. We don't like to focus on earthly things. And then, not we can do a lot, but God can do a lot. Okay? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much that we still can read your word, even though it's super old already. It's still really accurate, and it still has to teach us something. But I thank you for Paul, who was, I mean, he wasn't in a nice place at that point. He was in prison, in fact. And he's still able to cheer up the church in Colossae, and in a sense, us today in Galena too. I thank you that you gave him lots of understanding of that mystery of Christ. I thank you that I don't need a special degree to fathom that, who you are. I'm in awe that you picked me and that you gave me the understanding, and even small kids can have the understanding what you did for them. And Lord, we don't like to keep that for us. We also like to walk the talk. We like to share the good news about you with other people as well. And Lord, we need a lot of wisdom. There are different cultures here in Galena. When the boarding school opens, we have lots of Yupik coastal culture. We have the Athabascan culture here in Galena. We have white people. We have people from all over the world. And Lord, we need a lot of wisdom. And Lord, I'd like to give everybody now a few seconds, 10, 20 seconds, to think about somebody we know here in Galena, maybe our neighbor, a co-worker. Lord, we'd like to pray that you will open a door for us personally to share, and that they will accept Christ. Well, we might think we're too unequipped, but again, Lord, you told us and you promised us that you can do a lot. You can do everything, and you don't need a lot for that. When you created the world, you just spoke, and it was there. And you're the same God today, Lord. And we pray that you will do that, that you will open doors, that there will people accept you here in Galena and in the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us. Please feel free to subscribe and listen to any of our sermons at galenamissions.podbean.com.